On Triple M, this is the Rush Hour Queenslander with Dobbo for Totally Workwear. Dobbo, I know you've been looking forward to this guest for a couple of days now. I mean, he sits on the iron throne of the NRL. He is the king of the castle, the CEO of the NRL, Andrew Abdo. Welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you, mate?
Thanks for having me. It's great to be on your show. I'm very well, thanks.
Yeah, great to have you, Andrew. And we understand just, and the NRL, and I should say this from the very start, that the NRL are very much aware of how important this Queensland market is. We broadcast across the state every night, and we went and did this research study on the sports that we thought that they'd like to, and rugby league is front, first, second and third here in Queensland. The NRL, they're so committed there. Obviously, you launched Magic Round yesterday. It's obviously a very big part of the footprint in the national game that you guys have.
I couldn't agree more. Every time I travel through Queensland, whether it's yesterday being in Brisbane for the launch of Magic Round, and if I can just say, Ben, you did what a terrific job you did for us commentating on the River Race, and I'd like to thank you for helping us sell over 1,000 tickets yesterday. Your commentary was very humorous and very entertaining. But every time I travel through Queensland, I'm always get a lot of inspiration by how passionate people are for the game, what a sense of community there is on rugby league, whether it's in a regional town or whether it's in the major centres. And Queensland is really important from an NRL and from a commission's perspective around how we think about growth.
There's so much talk, and I understand you get asked this every single time, and this has been going on for the last 5 years. When are we going to have a game in Brisbane every single week of the Telstra Premiership? And I understand the complexities of it, and the commission has come out and said that you're looking into it now to try and see if it's feasible. Can I ask, and this is from my perspective and a lot of others, if we only have one more team come into the NRL, so it's a 17-team competition. That means there's going to be a bye every week. So, in essence, we don't get another game on TV. Now, there has to be a third team in Brisbane, I get that. But you guys, obviously, in the NRL, have to give grants to every single side every year. Does that make it potentially that you could be financially in a worse situation if you give another team if the revenue isn't there?
Yeah, look, there are a few things to that. So having a 17th team does result in a bye. So you don't have an extra match each weekend, but you do have an extra week. So you would have a 26-week competition, and you would have extra matches. So you would have another 8 matches. And so there is more content whilst it's not week in, week out. And, of course, there's more content in a really important market for us, being Queensland, and that is true too of the broadcasters. So from whether it's a subscriber for Foxtel KO or whether it's a free-to-air partner, having an increase in share is also valuable. Now, what we have to do is make sure that the incremental revenue matches the incremental cost to make sure that there's value for the game for everyone, and we have to take a long-term view. But ultimately, where we would like to go is not only get 17 teams up, but move towards potentially 18 teams. And that allows us to then have potentially 2 conferences of 9 and a Queensland-based hub and a New South Wales-based hub. And, that might allow for growth well outside Queensland and New South Wales, but two conferences. Like, you have to begin with the end in mind. That's the long-term vision, and that's the bold ambition that we've got. Whether we can get it to stack up right now, that's what we're busy working on, but we're building towards something, and if you're not thinking about growth, and if you're not thinking about taking your product to and servicing a market in which it's popular, and then thinking about how you can take it to new markets, then you know what are you doing, I guess?
Yeah, there's no secret. I mean, we've got the Brisbane Jets, which is the Ipswich Western Corridor bid, the Firehawks, which is around the East Tigers bid, and also the Redcliffe Dolphins, who would change their name from Redcliffe, but the Dolphins bid. And all three have a lot of merit around what they believe. And Elliot and I have had representatives on this show, and every time you get off the phone or from interviewing, you think, oh, well, they've got it. What is the big factor that the NRL, because if you talk to different people, they say, oh, well, it's participation rates. Another one says, well, it's future growth. Another one says, well, it's financial sustainability. If Andrew Abdo had to make a decision now, what's the biggest factor for you to select another franchise to come in to the Telstra Premiership?
Well, you're not going to like my answer, because the answer is it's all of those. Like, and so we have to be very professional and thorough around the criteria, which we're busy formulating at the moment, and the weighting of each criteria, and then allow the bidders to respond and to provide evidence of how they will tackle across. And so there's no one thing. And Ben, you mentioned the majority of it. So financial sustainability, yes, that's important. Participation rates and pathways, that's absolutely important. But so too is fan acquisition and the ability to unite a tribe. Rugby league is a tribal game. We're a game of tribes. And this is about, you know, who do we think is best suited? Of course, there needs to be strong governance and leadership. There needs to be strong financial sustainability outside of the grant, which comes from the centre. And of course, there needs to be pathways and competitions and systems that feed in and allow both men and women to have a clear opportunity to, you know, become future stars, but also to play the game socially. But the most important is what tribe is going to capture the hearts and minds of fans and provide us with new fans that have an opportunity to participate in their old competition. That for me, that will be the golden thread through all of that criteria.
Andrew, how many tweets and emails is it going to take from Queensland fans to get you to change your mind on Jason Taumalolo potentially playing Origin?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? Like, who wouldn't want Jason Taumalolo playing, you know, State of Origin for Queensland? I mean, who wouldn't want the best players in the NRL playing for State of Origin? Look, it's not my decision. At the moment, the eligibility requirements, you know, are set. They're set by the commission, but in close a consultation and coordination with the two state leagues. What we are working on is we're working on cleaning up and standardizing the international calendar. And if we can have a dedicated international window at the end of the year, then you won't have some players who are eligible to play Origin choosing between representing their country or their state. And so the eligibility requirements are separate from that, but that's phase one. Down the track, potentially, you know, we might see a change in policy that the commission may consider around, you know, if you've played for an international country or not. But that's not on the table at the moment. And as much as I'd love to see Jason and other NRL superstars playing State of Origin, that won't be on the table for 2021.
Yeah, and look, I think the NRL have got it right. It can't be a free-for-all. And growing up, you talked about tribal supporters and stuff like that. It was either you were from New South Wales or you're from Queensland. Now, I understand from an individual perspective, Jason, he arrived here and he was 13 years of age, and you can understand that. But he did make a decision to play for his country, and in doing that at that present time, it made him ineligible to play Origin. Now, if that relaxes in the next 12 to 18 months, there could be a window for him to choose something like that. But in saying that, it's more going forward in the sense that not everybody, and I think if you ask the Burgess boys when they were playing whether or not they wanted to play Origin, I think that the playing for their country was far more important. And I think you talk to a lot of these New Zealand, Jesse Bromwich, those guys, it was always about playing for your country over Origin. So it just meant what side of the tracks you come from. What gets you out of bed every day with this great game of rugby league, Andrew? I'm fascinated because, I mean, it's one thing to obviously be the CEO of such a phenomenal brand, but you have to love the sport as well. What is it that drives you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think sport brings people together, and no matter how complex and tough it is, and it can be very political at times, as you guys know, and it's difficult to... you know, probably the biggest challenge of sport is, you know, defining winning. And I'm talking off the field, not on the field. Like on the field, it's clear as to what it takes to win a rugby league game. And you've got a scoreboard and you know, that a try is worth 4 points. And well, we've, you know, a field goal from outside 40 meters is now worth two. But the point I wanted to make is you can track success where you are on the ladder and where you are, in any game based on what the scoreboard tells you. Off the field, It's a bit more complex around what winning actually is, and making sure you get the balance right between focusing on the elite side of the sport and also focusing on the connection back to grassroots and community. Getting the balance right between how you allocate funding to make sure that you're not just funding the here and now, but you're also building for a better future. That's complex, but I really enjoy that challenge. What drives me, what motivates me, is the sense of spirit that exists inside sport, and more specifically, the sense of spirit that exists in rugby league in Australia. This is my 9th year now of living in this beautiful country, and I've been a citizen for half of that period of time. And I will and truly now sort of ingrained into and have come to absolutely love the sense of community that exists in Australia. But for my very first live rugby league game in Australia, I got a sense of what this game means to people. And I was watching the Rabbitohs play the Bulldogs. So it was a bit of a Sydney-centric game, but yep. I was on the 50-meter line, and I was caught between two massive things that hit me in straight away, and how fast and intense and entertaining the game was on the field, but moreover, how intense and passionate the fans were, and they were singing to each other, and they were and the banter was flying, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere. So what drives me is, you know, what this great game means to people. And how much joy it gives to people. Think back to 2020 and COVID, and when there was all that uncertainty in the world, being able to get back on the field, I think, yeah. was really important, because it gave people, again, you know, that spirit, the spirit of hope, the spirit of we're going to get through this. And everyone made such amazing sacrifices to get us back on the field, including, you know, you guys, our media partners, the players, the clubs, and our fans stuck by us and our sponsors. But you know, again, you know, what does sport do? It brings people together. So on a Thursday night, families stuck at home were able to at least watch the footy. And then slowly but surely, we had community football returning and all our amazing volunteers coming to the fore. That's what drives me, that sense of spirit that exists in sport. You know, sport's about speed and stamina and strength and skill, but actually the X factor for me in rugby league is the amazing spirit that exists in our communities.
Yeah, either way, and it was a special night. This last game three, State of Origin, when it was a sellout at Suncorp Stadium. Anybody was lucky to be present there, and I was on the side. It was a special, and it just showed how great this game is when it's played at that level and with the big crowds. Andrew, I don't want to get bonked down on dead set definitive dates in the sense, but roughly ballpark, when either way, whether or not you guys do go ahead with a 17th franchise or not, is there a time frame set to have an answer one way or another?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want this to drag on. We're in the moment of, sorry, in the at the moment, we are building a significant amount of detail around how the competition could work and be structured, what the incremental revenues were, et cetera, which we spoke about earlier. And then concurrently to that, engaging with and working with the three bidding franchises. And doing our due diligence on that. That'll be presented to the commission in the middle of the year. And so we imagine, you know, in either probably mid to late July, we will have an opportunity to, and the commission will have an opportunity to then say what happens from there and in. If we are going to work towards, if it does stack up and this is the way the commission goes, then, you know, that will allow 18 months time frame for that franchise to get ready and to build the systems that they need. Luckily, with all three bidders, there's a significant amount of work that's already gone into that. But yes, I mean, probably mid to end of July, there'll be an opportunity for the commission to have analysed all the data and have the conversations that need to be had with our key partners and for some information to then be made public.
Yeah, can't wait for it. Doing a phenomenal job. We appreciate you making yourself available for Queenslander, Rush Hour Queenslander. Thanks so much, Andrew Abdo.
It's great to chat to you. I'm always amazed at how passionate our fans in Queensland are for this great game. And anything that I can do to help, I'm more than happy to chat to you guys.